Hang for the whale. JPMorgan Chase looks to settle.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for David Brancaccio, and this is the Marketplace Midday Update. Shares of JPMorgan Chase are down today on news the bank will be settling with U.S. regulators over huge losses racked up by one of its traders known as the London Whale. JPMorgan is also reportedly ready to admit wrongdoing. Chris Lowe joins us now. He's the chief economist at FTN Financial. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Stacey.
So, Chris, what do you make of this news from JPMorgan?
Well, I'm a little surprised, frankly. I didn't expect that JPMorgan would admit wrongdoing, and I didn't expect that executives would either, which is at least part of the buzz. We don't know, of course, what the final deal is.
Right. Well, I mean, and this has been a big week for bank lawsuits in general. Bank of America was also sued by federal regulators this week for some mortgage-backed securities it sold back in 2008. Is this a trend that we're seeing, perhaps?
I think it might be. You know, my sense is that what's happening is after the Justice Department successfully went after Goldman Sachs and Fabrice Tour, you remember he was
the
low-level employee accused of mortgage fraud. This has emboldened regulators, and they are finally cracking down on what are seen as abuses by some of these financial giants.
Are other banks worried, do you think?
Well, I think they might be. You know, the one case that's most striking to me is the B of A case. There, the Justice Department is looking into a mortgage bond that was structured right before the crisis. That they're claiming that there were some really junky loans in there, and that employees at the bank knew about it and fought against it. The reason that one is perhaps the biggest surprise is that we thought all the big mortgage-related lawsuits were behind us. But again, I think it looks like we're going to have another cycle of these.
Chris Lowe with FTN Financial. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
The International Trade Commission is expected to rule today on whether certain Samsung devices infringe on Apple patents. It's the latest in a long-running battle between the two companies. Earlier this summer, the commission ruled that some older iPhone and iPad models infringed on Samsung patents and banned their sale in the U.S. But then the Obama administration vetoed the decision. Marketplace's David Weinberg reports.
To avoid getting tangled in the menacing jungle that is patent law, let's start with a simple question. Why would the administration veto the commission's ban on iPhones and iPads, even if the company was found to be infringing on Samsung's patents? The answer? It's for the public good.
What the administration is saying is, well, sometimes just let the infringement continue because taking some step might harm the public interest.
Dennis Crouch is a law professor and the author of the patent blog Patently O. In this case, the public interest is not just about our desire for iPhones and iPads. It's about standard essential patents. That means patents that cover an essential piece of the technology needed to make a device function.
The administration also focused on Samsung's prior statements that it was going to be willing to license its patents in kind of a reasonable way.
In other words, the administration doesn't think Samsung lived up to that promise. Rochelle Dreyfus teaches law at NYU.
The harder question is, what's a reasonable rate? And that's why there are so many of these cases.
The latest case will play out today in a federal appeals court. Apple wants the court to ban some of Samsung's older smartphones. If the court rules in favor of Apple, it could force Samsung to change designs for future products. But the ban will have little financial effect on Samsung. Those smartphones Apple wants banned, they account for less than 1% of Samsung's sales. I'm David Weinberg from Marketplace.
This school year, districts are imposing a 5.2% cut in education funding as mandated by the sequester. It adds up to more than $1.5 billion. Andrea Gardner looks now at what that means in the classroom.
According to the American Association of School Administrators, 3 out of 4 superintendents said the sequester cuts would force them to eliminate jobs, on average about 5 per district. Those employees likely worked with poor and disabled students because federal dollars often fund programs for the disadvantaged, says Sean Guerin with the advocacy group Fair Share.
The kids that need it the most and the schools that are least prepared to handle these cuts are the ones that are going to see the brunt.
The sequester hits the Head Start program hard because it's solely funded by the government. About 65,000 fewer low-income children will join the early education program this year. For Keisha Woods, a director of Head Start in Los Angeles, it means 900 fewer slots.
We've had calls so far that I was dependent on my 3-year-old to get in, so now I'm going to have to quit my job.
Wood says it means thousands of children won't be ready for kindergarten while their parents suffer their own career setbacks. I'm Andrea Gardner for Marketplace.
And finally, Virgin America is taking in-flight entertainment to the next level. Starting next month, the airline is going to offer live music and improv comedy on some of its UK flights. Comedians and musicians will perform in the aisles, and passengers won't know who will be performing until they board. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith, and this is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM.